Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
We got a lot to get to, guys. Obviously, we got Gardo's Twins, game three of the four-game set here in Cleveland tonight. We're also halfway through the week, so today we heard from Deshaun Watson. We heard from Kevin Stefanski. You're going to hear more of that sound as well throughout this hour. We've got a giveaway later in this hour as well, but big week going on for the Cleveland Browns because you've got another opportunity at a winnable game, the New York Giants this weekend. And obviously, guys, 4 p.m. on Wednesday means Ross Tucker. We're actually going to get to Ross on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline in just a moment here. But I'm curious to get his take on how much the Jacksonville game should change or impact our thinking on where this team is. And on the line is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Ross, what bathroom are you calling us from this week?
None. I'm in my home office right now, actually. The flying back and forth across the country three times last week is over.
I will have to say, because I get to just do this show 5 days a week. Now, it's a lot. 5 hours a day is a lot. But the travel that you partake in, even though I know it's got to be fun, like, I just want to take a nap at your behest.
Yeah, so I don't even know if we talked about it, but last week, Tuesday, I flew from Pennsylvania to Denver so I could go to Colorado's practice Wednesday. Then I went back on Wednesday night and flew to Miami to do Bills Dolphins Thursday night. Then I flew from Miami back to Denver to do Colorado State Saturday night. Then I flew from Denver back to Pennsylvania. So that was a lot. But there's a lot of weeks where I have two games. And yes, you know, it's like anything else in life, right? There are pros and cons to every gig. I absolutely love doing games and being at games in person, but the travel's tough. And nobody, I'm not complaining, but listen, I love it. I wouldn't do it if I didn't. But I'm away from my family every weekend for 6 months, basically from the Eagles' first preseason game through the Super Bowl. So that's a negative. Although, interestingly, Nick, this is my only off weekend from CBS, like in the last 6 years. Now, I still have Jags Bills on Monday night for Westwood One, but I have the weekend off. So Friday night, it just so happens that Post Malone's playing at Hershey Park Stadium. So I'm going to go to that. My wife was shocked that I would be home. I don't know if she was shocked or, like, not happy. I think she was planning on taking a friend until she realized I could actually go. And then Saturday, I'm going to go to see Penn State against your guys from Kent State. I am 99% going to tailgate. And I told my buddy who I'm going with, I don't really care how many football players I see on a football field for that day.
I will say that is the thing that you miss the most about being in media is it really does cut down on your tailgating time. And I, like you, am a large fellow who enjoys many of the various things you can do at a tailgate. I think it's great, though, Ross, that you've got the Jags-Bills game on Monday Night Football for our friends at Westwood One, because we obviously are coming off the Browns' win over Jacksonville. How much confidence should the Jacksonville win bring Browns fans heading into this Giants game?
Yeah, I think a decent amount. I think two parts, right? Number one, you know, I know the Jags are on a bad run here, but they should have beat the Dolphins. I mean, they're up 17-7. Because remember, I did Dolphins last week, so I watched that game. They're up 17-7. They're controlling the game. Etienne's going in for a touchdown. They go up 24-7. Holland punches the ball out. They give up long passes to Tyreek Hill and Waddle, and they lose the game. But the Jags were really, like, the better team in that game. So for Cleveland to be able to go to Jacksonville and make Trevor Lawrence and the offense look that bad, I think is very encouraging. Seems like the Browns still have a top 5D under Schwartz. And then I would say Watson did enough. You know, I mean, he doesn't need right now to be a top 10 guy. I think we probably agree that he's not going to be a top 10 guy again. But that's okay for right now, as long as he can actually go out there and function and not make losing plays. You know, right now, they don't really even need him to make that many winning plays. You just can't make the losing plays.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, Ross, because there's this weird permanence thing that NFL fans see, that the most recent thing you saw is the thing that you should expect going forward. And so we did see Deshaun, however big or small it might be, make a jump from week one to week two. But this has begat the conversation of, all right, is he a game-managing quarterback, and can you win with that? So to your point, how long can you get by, you know, whether it's in-season, postseason, whatever, with Deshaun at what you saw against Jacksonville, and how long until you need him to be something closer to the guy he was in Houston, or at least a top-10 quarterback?
Well, so first of all, the most encouraging part of that is he looked better and he got better, right? So I think before I would take the leap that he's a game-managing quarterback and that's what he is, I would hope and or be encouraged by the fact that week two was better than week one, and so now the hope has to be that week three is better than week two. And if it is, that's a really, really good sign, and hopefully that continues. The other thing that I don't know if you have been following it or talking about, but I think it's important context, you know, Nick, there's not that many quarterbacks exactly lighting the world on fire. You know, passing yardage is down to historic levels for the first 2 weeks of the season. Passing touchdowns are down to historic levels. In other words, there aren't that many guys tearing it up right now. Most of the quarterbacks, if you look at their stats, appear to be like game man. I mean, look at Josh Allen in the last game against the Dolphins. I think he threw for like 130 yards. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are winning games right now throwing for not that many yards, and at least statistically you would come away saying, okay, the guy's a game manager.
So we did talk about that early in the show, and each of us, I had a co-host in that hour, each of us kind of espoused our own theory on this. What do you make of, and you know, why do you think it is that we're seeing these historically limited passing attempts early in the season?
So I think there's several reasons, right? One of which is, I'll give you three. One of which is, with every passing year, there is less practice time and less preseason action. And offense, more than defense, requires cohesion and repetition to really be efficient. So that's why defenses are always going to be ahead of offenses at the start of the year, and that is even more pronounced now. And then number two, you know, and maybe this is part of what I said, number one, but You know, five guys could screw up for the Browns on defense, but Myles Garrett could kill the right tackle and sack the quarterback and nobody notices. On offense, essentially if one guy screws up, the play's not going to work. But if one guy screws up, either it's a penalty, doesn't work, or, you know, that guy's going to make the tackle unless Nick Chubb runs him over or whatever. I mean, you need everybody to be working well and on the same page for offensive football, which makes it tougher. Then the other thing, and this might be the biggest thing, is, and this started maybe, I would say 2021 is when every coordinator, defensive coordinator I would talk to would talk about this. The analytics guys have figured out that by far the two statistics that are most indicative of whether you win or lose the game are turnovers. Duh, we all already knew that, and explosive plays. So now defensive football, it used to be you got to stop the run, make them one-dimensional, then you run the passer. Now defensive coaches start with you have to limit the explosives, and then after that, figure it out. So if you notice, there aren't that many long touchdown passes anymore. I mean, there aren't that many long passing plays, period, because teams are playing a lot of two deep, three deep quarters, which is essentially four deep. They really do not want you to get the explosive plays. And in particular, the thought process is, especially early in the season, if they have to go 10 to 14 plays, at some point the offense will screw up and they'll get a penalty and maybe that stops the drive. Or worst case scenario, they get down near the red zone, and defenses are really good at playing zone in the red zone, and quarterbacks don't want to turn it over. A lot of field goals out there, Nick, a lot of field goals. So I think that's as much of a reason as any.
Ross Tucker with us here. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. 2 weeks into the season, Ross, the O-line play has been, let's say, subpar. They are without Jack Conklin. They are without Jed Wills. They're also without Bill Callahan, and we're seeing alignment issues, holding penalties. In fact, at the end of their last offensive series, there were three straight penalties that set Deshaun back to, I think it was 3rd and 28 or 3rd and 36, something like that. So is 2 weeks too early to wonder if some of this or all of this is due to the absence of Bill Callahan?
It is too early because of the fact that Conklin and Wills are not out there. But I can't stress enough how important position coaches are, and in particular offensive line coaches. I don't know how much he makes, Nick, but it's a lot. I mean, it's like a couple $1 million a year, and deservingly so. You know, there are people that would argue after head coach and both coordinators, offensive line coach is by far the most important position coach, and people pay up a lot for those guys if they think they're really good. I personally thought that they should have made the Titans give them a draft choice. I thought it was that valuable. My guess is the NFL didn't want to go down that route with position coaches, people trading for position coaches. And so the Browns sort of did the Titans a solid and maybe did Bill Callahan a solid, but it makes a big difference, man. I mean, I had 9 offensive line coaches in the NFL. Makes a difference, man. I'm just telling you, like the delta, you probably don't even know what that is. The difference between the good ones and the bad ones is significant. And I would argue the difference in a game or two.
I believe the Delta is somewhere in the south there. Thank you very much. Which winless AFC North team should be more worried, the Bengals or the Ravens?
Ravens. Yeah, Ravens. Because the Ravens got worse from week 1 to week 2, and they lost a horrible game at home where they had a double-digit lead. The Bengals got better from week one to week two and should have won a game on the road against, you know, the two-time defending champ. So I'd be feeling better about the Bengals than the Ravens right now, for sure, especially because the Ravens have O-line issues, which is a problem because now they're at a point where it's like, you know, are these guys going to be better by the end of the year? Are their guards or their right tackle? Are they going to? They're counting on these guys who have never played before to be good by the end of the year. I'm just not sure they're going to be.
All right, one more here. Carolina benches Bryce Young 2 games into the season. One, are you buying that it was Dave Canales' choice instead of Dave Tepper's choice? And two, can you put the genie back in the bottle? Is Bryce Young salvageable in Carolina?
So I am buying that it was Canales. Because I think he saw what happened with Frank Reich last year getting fired after 11 games or whatever it was, and he didn't want to wait around for that to be the case for him. And, you know, Bryce Young was not the guy he chose. If it were David Tepper, that would really add to just how ludicrous of an owner he is, because why would you bring in this head coach, specifically because of his work with Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield, and after 2 games, pull the plug? That just doesn't make any sense at all. So I am not, I do not think that it was David Tepper, but although he's done other things that don't make sense, I think Canales is like, listen, I'm going to lose the locker room. This young man is not giving us a chance to win the game. We got veterans like Thielen and Taylor Moten and these guys looking at me side-eyed because they know we're going out there with one hand tied behind our back and not having a chance to win the game, and I'm going to lose the locker room if I keep playing this kid.
Ross, great stuff as always, buddy. Enjoy Post Malone. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Later, dude.
Later, dude.
There you go. Ross Tucker there on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. I disagree with Ross on the matter of what's going on with Carolina. I think Dave Tepper has taken the Panthers. And when Dave Tepper bought that franchise in his introductory press conference, I know because that was like the first thing I did when I moved to Charlotte like 6 years ago now, 7 years ago. Dave Tepper said he wanted to take the Panthers out of the middle pack of the NFL where they had been, right? Hadn't had consistent winning seasons. They'd been to 2 Super Bowls, but as soon as the Super Bowl happened, they go back to 5-11 or 5-12. And Dave Tepper's done that, but he's taken them in the wrong direction. And I will say, this is not like insider knowledge. I used to have people in that building that I knew. Dave Tepper has run every good person out of the Carolina Panthers building by being an impetuous hippopotamus. So I do think it was his decision. And I think it is embarrassing to see any NFL owner treat football people like that. He did Frank Reich dirty. He is now doing Dave Canales dirty. And all I can say is you reap what you sow. You're supposed to be a leader. Grow the hell up. But other than that, really, really, things going well there. You know, we asked the Bill Callahan question of Ross because, one, he's a former NFL offensive lineman, and two, because he and I were in simpatico with what the loss of Bill Callahan was. And I don't, listen, we're so early into the season. I don't want anyone to hear what I'm saying and think I'm speaking in absolutes. It's so early in the season. There are so many variables. I mean, even within the passing game conversation, every quarterback in the NFL not named Deshaun Watson is getting a pass for the low passing totals and passing offenses around the NFL being down. And by the way, I do expect that to peter out. In the end, one, offenses already start behind defenses. That's a cliche we've talked about for years. Two, the mistake in basing your defense around whether it's, you know, whether it's two deep, three deep quarters, whatever you want to call it, any of those things is you give offenses more time to pick them apart. So I do expect that non-elite defenses, the defenses that right now you're not expecting to hold down better quarterbacks, thinking like Las Vegas, all right? Thinking of really any, not Browns, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, there's a few other. I actually really like Kansas City's defense as well, and I like them going back last year. But there's going to be eight or nine defenses who can do this and keep this up at this rate or something close to it for most of the season, if not all the season into the postseason. And most other defenses are going to regress because the amount of skill, talent, the way that this whole thing is stacked towards offenses, that hasn't changed. I also think all the tic-tac penalties about motion, about alignment, about just all the little tic-tac stuff that we've even seen here in Cleveland with the orbit motion, I think we've seen this enough. Like, once Kadarius Toney got popped for being on the ball in the Kansas City-Buffalo game that led to a Kansas City loss in the regular season, that penalty mysteriously went away. This is not, I'm not going to the conspiracy theory that's stupid that the NFL is rigging this for the Chiefs. My point is, the NFL makes a point to be demonstrative about new things every single year. We're going to emphasize this, and then there's usually a high-profile case, and the NFL backs off because they've made their point. Well, cost the Chiefs a game. Now we can go back to not enforcing who's lining up right on the ball and who isn't. So I do expect some of the nuances that have led to offenses sucking around football. Sorry, passing offenses to suck around football.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ball to go away. So in Cleveland, some of that I do expect to go away. I also think when it comes to the penalties, that Kevin Stefanski gave a pretty elaborate answer on this today that I think deals with some of the realities that you're going through, but not all of the realities you're going through.
we have to play clean. We have to play clean with our technique. We have to be way, way, way better pre-snap. There is a difference between pre-snap penalties and post-snap penalties, obviously. The pre-snap penalties should be easily correctable. The post-snap, there's going to be some calls that we get called for a holding that we don't feel is a real strong call or those type of things. But when you get into the fourth quarter, to your question, both sides are tired, but you can't let your technique lapse when you're tired.
So to get to the pre-snap stuff, I think some of this stuff going away is just going to be when the NFL finally lets go of this. I think some of that is, I think fans will get, I do think the NFL pays attention to your fury. So I think that's part of that. How pissed off can you make fans over time before people go, oh, okay, let's back off, right? These teams have paid the penance enough. When it comes to the post-snap penalties, I don't think it's just because Bill Callahan isn't here. I don't want to make it seem like that. You're without your two best tackles in Jack Conklin and Jed Wills. And specifically on the right side, I still like James Hudson. I just don't think he's a tackle. I think he is probably a guard, and I think he could become a guard as soon as next year if either Joel and or Wyatt aren't here. I'm not saying they should do that. I'm saying I can understand that that's a possibility with contractual situations and career decisions to be made for both guys coming up. So I do think some of this is you're starting a guard at left tackle, and that's really, really tough. You're on your fourth string tackle, okay? So even if it's just Jack Conklin's back this week, I expect the offensive line to get better when they're back. Specific to late-game penalties, I'm not used to seeing late-game penalties from Wyatt Teller, Ethan Posick, and Joel Bitonio. Like, those penalties that killed you late in that game were predominantly on the best part of your offensive line. So it's weird to me, and I'm not trying to call Ken out on this because we just see it differently. But Ken, and I don't remember if it was right at the beginning of the offseason when they're getting ready to lose Bill Callahan or not, but Ken kind of said, I think we're overreacting to the loss of Bill Callahan. He's just an offensive line coach. That is a gross mischaracterization of what he's saying. But again, I'm trying to do my best here, Ken. I hope you hear that. But I think Ken, even today, came out and was like, yeah, I think people are overreacting. That, you know, the problems on the O-line, it is about health. It is about situational problems. It is about this, that, and the other. And I do think that is some of the thing. But I think the problem that we get into in sports a lot is we all just want to have our one thing, right? We want to have our simple, easy explanation for why things are. And in a game as complex as football, and in a spot of play that I don't think people realize the complexity of playing offensive line, it's never just one thing. Is it 30% that Jack Conklin and Jed Wills aren't out there? I'm sure that's a part of it. Is it maybe adjusting to some of these realities we've talked about with things being called and a crackdown on certain alignments? I'm sure that's part of it. But how, listen, I can't definitively say through 2 weeks the offensive line has been worse because Bill Callahan isn't here. I don't think you can dismiss it or say that idea is overrated. This is the time where we're trying to figure out, and this is not about the current O-line coaches here. It's not there. I'm sure they're still going to be fine. But Bill Callahan, the reputation, and a well-earned one at that, is that he is one of the three best offensive line coaches in the NFL. And considering, you know, we talked earlier about the lack of polish on some of these offensive lines coming in. It's not just polish. It's versatility. Like, guys are coming in as athletic as we've seen them up front. The problem is you're not being as well-versed across the board in different fits, in different styles, in different techniques, and that matters crucially. And even the Browns, they did change their fits in some of the techniques they're going to be using this year because they've got a new offensive line coach. That doesn't mean Andy Dickerson is a scrub. It doesn't mean Roy Istvan, it went Hungarian on you there, is a scrub. It just means Bill Callahan was really freaking good. And sometimes the best jobs, like people talk, well, last year you had the 22nd best O-line in football. How good was Bill Callahan? Did you see the lack of continuity they had? They were starting, Jerron Christian at left tackle for a good part of the late part of the season. When defenses, by the way, when your edge rushers are at their zenith. Defenses ebbs and flows, but late in the season, elite players doing elite things, especially an edge rusher or pass rusher, makes a difference. Betonia wasn't healthy. Wyatt had a stretch. Nobody was healthy last year. And a right tackle, left tackle, you get a rookie, 400-pound rookie at right tackle last year. So to try and make it, well, last year wasn't any good, that disproves the importance of Bill Callahan. No, they were 22nd in the NFL because Bill Callahan, I'm pretty sure, kept them together. So 2 weeks in, I'm not panicking that Bill Callahan isn't here. But that trust factor isn't. And much like we're talking about Deshaun, well, we might have to have a different conversation 5 weeks from now if he performs differently or if he isn't performing to that level. Same thing goes with the offensive line. 216-474-0092. How much of the offensive line struggles early here do you put on the change in offensive line coach? I don't think it can be calculated, which means I don't think at least 2 weeks in we should be downplaying that in any way. We were just having the conversation about the offensive line and how much of this impacted or has been impacted by the absence of Bill Callahan. And Chris saying, OMG, a little dramatic start to the tweet here, I think he's saying quit with the Bill Callahan bleep already. He left, it's over, who cares? The O-line didn't just forget how to do their jobs. This narrative is so tired, dude. One, we haven't talked about it since, I believe, April. So I think that's – so it actually can't be tired if you haven't talked about something for 5 months. Also, it is one of the things we should be watching for this year. Anytime you have a change at any spot, you should be looking for – can you see anything diminished? And it's funny, the line that I thought was most interesting – that this is not an intentional or unintentional shot at Chris, but the O-line didn't just forget how to do their jobs. Well, Chris, their jobs changed. Whether it's technique, whether it's fits, whether it's zone blocking versus literally any other kind of blocking, when they change the offense, they change the protections. And if you don't think that was a part of why Micah Parsons, who on top of being an elite football player, is also, just an elite athlete, just elite, but on top of that, if you don't think that that was part of it, like I love this conversation, and I know Jason Lloyd has referenced this a bunch of times. People have talked about the protection times and the time to throw for Deshaun Watson, and that is a stat that works really, really well when you have Joe Flacco, who is a statue in the pocket. No, that's unfair. Joe moved around a little bit last year, but pocket quarterbacks, that's a stat that works and is completely illustrative of whether or not you're getting time to throw or not. If you are a quarterback that moves around like Deshaun has the last 2 weeks, even if you don't do it well, like Deshaun, I mean, to me it was night and day watching the film. I'm going to say that because I've watched the film of both those games. Deshaun moved around out of panic 2 weeks ago. This week, he moved out of comfort and out of feel. So, it's so wild to me how the last 2 years, I do feel like Deshaun has been too in the pocket. And I think in his mind, I think that's what he was trying to accomplish. Stay in the pocket, stay in the pocket, stay in the pocket. But I think he's entered the fray, especially 2 years ago with the six games. He entered the fray at a time where it's the end of the season, your O-line's banged up, and you just gotta make the play, and you gotta feel where people are around you. You've gotta have that spatial awareness. I thought Deshaun had tremendous spatial awareness against Jacksonville, and I thought it made up for some real lapses. And again, I don't want to overdo this. They're not the 2018 Cleveland Browns, and I also can empathize that when you try new run fits, your job literally changes based off what you're asking to do. So I don't think Wyatt Teller or Betonio or Posick or any of these dudes, Dewan even, is a very young buck, big guy coming off an injury. I think everybody's forgotten what to do. But for whatever reason, and I'm willing to say some of this is just plain out continuity, I think a big reason why Bill Callahan was able to have such strong offensive line play is a good deal of the time, at most, you were trying to sub in one person on the offensive line. the most important thing on the offensive line is, are your five guys playing together and healthy, and were they that way in camp? So you already had zero camp with these guys, especially a tackle where they didn't come off the pup until they absolutely had to. So not only did you have that, but you also have a new O-line coach, new fits, new things you're trying. Oh, it's a new system as well. There's just a lot of new. So until proven otherwise, I'm willing to give it that that's 50, 60, 70% of the equation. But to dismiss the Bill Callahan thing right now, when the offensive line isn't playing well, honestly, I think you're doing that to protect your own thoughts. Nobody wants to have the conversation, what if they're not going to be good this year at offensive line because you lost the best O-line coach in America? It's between him and Jeff Stoutland. Chris Forrester, I think, is in that conversation. I'm probably missing a name or two off the top of my head. But to dismiss that now, it's the weirdest time to take a victory lap on, well, the Bill Callahan conversation is overrated. The weirdest time. The offensive line's not playing well. And Chris also now just happy he got mentioned on the radio. You, sir, get a gold star. But I do think, I think it is one of the things that as much as it's Deshaun, night in, night out, as it should be, it is a quarterback-driven league. This little impasse here where the offenses aren't passing as much and not having as much success passing, the explosive plays are down, I don't think it's going to last all season. I really don't. I'd be surprised if it lasted deep into October. I think these cycles that where the D coordinators catch up and surpass the O coordinators and vice versa, I think this thing is cyclical. It's getting a little more uneven with the way rule changes happen and rule specificity changes. So I think big picture, the passing games are going to come back. Big picture, I do think that some of these extra things are going the way or at least going to be diminished. At the same time, our O-line concerns have to diminish as well. For me, quarterback's the most important. Then it goes to D-line. And then right there, the 1B or whatever you want to call it, is the O-line. If you're not stout in the trenches, you're constantly going to have to make up for that. It's not quite as big as if you're not stout at quarterback. But to try and declare a victory lap of, well, you're just not healthy and this Bill Callahan conversation is overrated, I have no idea how you can say that definitively one way or another 2 weeks into the season.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.